Okay, so you know how you sent over that newsletter?
Yeah.
The one from April 9th, 2025.
Yeah,
It's
it's
pretty
really.
wild, right? It touches on so much stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Like how no agenda actually stays afloat, money-wise. And then there's all this stuff about global politics going haywire, and oh, don't even get me started on the whole US-China trade war thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lot to unpack, but that's why we're here, right? To kind of sift through it all and figure out what really matters for our listeners.
Absolutely. It's like we're putting together a puzzle, connecting the dots between all these different events and ideas that they've crammed into this one newsletter.
Totally. So I guess we should start with how No Agenda actually keeps the lights on, because they're really adamant about being like truly independent media, and they're completely funded by listeners.
Right, yeah.
And it's not just like one way to donate either. They've got PayPal, Stripe, the usual online stuff. But get this, they still take checks, like physical checks mailed to a P.O. box in El
Oh,
Cerrito.
wow.
And they even mention these services that can send checks for you. Plus, they handle foreign currency checks.
It makes you wonder who's still using checks these days.
Right. But hey, whatever works, right? I guess it shows just how dedicated some of their listeners are. And maybe, not everyone's comfortable with online payments.
Yeah, it's actually pretty smart. By offering all these different options, they're making it easier for anyone to support them, no matter how they prefer to do it.
Makes sense. It's all about accessibility.
Exactly.
Now, on top of the one-time donations, they've also got these recurring things they call subscriptions. And they've got some pretty specific tiers.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, they say their favorite is $33.33 a month.
That's oddly specific.
I know, right? Apparently, that's become more popular than the $11.11 option, which they said used to be the big one. But they've also got this $4 a week plan, or like they put it 75 cents an hour.
75 cents an hour.
I guess that makes it sound more manageable, maybe. Anyway, that one's getting more popular, apparently. And then there's this really wild one, a $50 a month knighthood layaway for 20 months.
Knighthood
I
layaway.
know. Sounds pretty out there.
That is pretty creative, though. It's like, a long-term commitment.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
it kind of plays on this idea of like, earning a special title or
Well,
something.
speaking of titles, they had this Commodore promotion, which they say is almost over.
Oh, right.
Basically, if you signed up for that, you got to be a Commodore, which they even suggest you should use as like an actual title. And you also become an executive producer.
They're really leaning into the whole exclusivity thing, huh?
Yeah. And now they're rolling out this EP drive, which stands for executive producer, obviously.
Yeah.
They're calling it a lifetime credit that you can even put on your like resume or CV. They really want to make it feel like a worthwhile investment.
It's smart marketing, honestly.
It is. And through all this, they keep hammering home this point. Because they're fully funded by their listeners, they're not beholden to any corporations or advertisers. They really push the whole your true independent media angle.
Yeah, I can see why that would resonate with people, especially these days when there's so much distrust in mainstream media.
Exactly. Okay, so let's move on to what they're going to cover in their next show, because this is where things get juicy. They're teasing some wild action, and the first thing they mention is, get this, a potential shift in how the White House is dealing with, as they put it, the Israel situation.
Interesting. So they're moving from talking about how their show operates to like analyzing international politics.
Right, exactly. And it sounds like they're suggesting something pretty significant is happening behind the scenes.
So what exactly are they saying?
Okay, so they're saying that this shift in the White House's stance is because of this thing they claim happened. It's a pretty serious accusation, actually. Apparently, international observers found a Red Crescent ambulance that was full of murdered aid workers. Yeah, and they're saying the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, then tried to bury it and cover it up.
Wow, if that's true, that's huge.
It is. And they're pointing out that it didn't get much coverage in, what they call the M5M, probably mainstream media, but apparently it got the attention of some big advisors in the White House.
So they're implying that this event, whether it was widely reported or not, is what pushed the White House to like reconsider its relationship with Israel.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And it doesn't end there. They also bring up how they canceled that usual press conference after the meeting with Netanyahu.
Oh, right.
And they compare it to how they did the same thing with Zelensky a few weeks before. They're suggesting it means the administration is taking a much tougher stance now.
Yeah. Canceling those press conferences is definitely a way to control the narrative. Okay. What else is in this newsletter?
Right. So next up is what they're calling the China bluff, which is all about the trade imbalance between the U.S. and China. They say China's really playing hardball now, and they've upped their tariffs on American goods to 84%.
Oof, that's a lot.
It is. And they say this happened after the U.S. raised its tariffs on Chinese imports to over 100%. So it's basically an all-out trade war.
Yikes. So what's their take on all of this?
Well, they argue that this trade war is mostly just with China. They say other countries are still making deals. And they keep bringing up this point about how much more China exports to the U.S. compared to what the U.S. exports to China.
Right, because the U.S. market is so much bigger, right?
Exactly. And they're saying that means the U.S. has more leverage because the Chinese economy is way more reliant on access to the American market. Although they do admit that American exporters would like to have better access to the Chinese market.
Yeah, of course. But it sounds like their argument is that the U.S. is in a stronger position overall in this trade war.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe I'm getting. And then they bring up this other issue that's been brewing for a while now, intellectual property theft.
Yeah. That's been a major sticking point with China for years.
Right. They're saying that American companies have been forced to partner with Chinese companies just to operate there, which has led to, you know, all sorts of issues with stolen technology and stuff.
Makes sense. It's hard to protect your intellectual property when you're forced to share it with potential competitors.
Exactly. And they're also worried that too many American companies have become too reliant on China for their products. They're basically acting as middlemen. But they see these direct-to-consumer companies, like Temu, as a potential way to shake things up.
Interesting. So they're saying that Temu could cut out the middleman and disrupt the existing supply chain.
Yeah, that's the idea. And they even imply that Temu has some special privileges, although they don't really go into detail.
I'd be curious to know more about that.
Me too. But anyway, they basically conclude this whole section by saying that this trade imbalance with China was completely unsustainable. And get this, they even suggest that it could have led to the U.S. becoming a province of China.
Whoa. That's a pretty extreme statement.
Yeah, it definitely got my attention.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, this newsletter doesn't shy away from strong opinions.
That's for sure. So what else is in there?
Well, they lighten things up a bit with their Meme of the Week segment. Apparently this week's meme is a real contender for Meme of the Year, but it takes a minute to really appreciate. Unfortunately, they don't actually show us the meme.
That's a shame. I always love a good meme.
Me too. And lastly, they have their Hypocrite of the Week feature, but they don't name anyone specific this time.
Oh, right. They do that every week, don't they? It's like their way of calling out people they think aren't walking the walk, so to speak.
Right, exactly.
So all in all, this newsletter really does pack a punch, doesn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. We've covered a lot of ground here. We started by looking at how this No Agenda show makes sure they're totally funded by their listeners, which they say is the key to their independence. Then we got into their preview of their next show.
Right.
With all that intense stuff about potential changes in the U.S.'s approach to Israel based on those pretty serious allegations.
Right.
And of course, we had to unpack their whole take on the trade war with China, which they basically see as a necessary step to fix a broken system.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique perspective for sure. They definitely don't hold back on their opinions. It makes you think.
It does. Like, how much does the way a media outlet gets its money influence the kind of stuff they report on and the opinions they share?
That's a good question.
And then there's the bigger picture. What's going to happen with all this tension in the Middle East? And how is this trade war with China going to play out? Stakes are high, and it feels like things are changing really fast.
It's definitely a lot to process. And that's where you, the listener, come in. You have to sift through all this information and decide what you believe. What sources do you trust? And how much does it matter that media outlets are truly independent? These are important questions to consider, especially in a world where information is power.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.